We'll read through the entire chapter. So let's begin at verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We thank you for this epistle that you led Paul to write to the Corinthians and all that it can teach us even today. We just pray you would help us to understand the truths herein contained, strengthen us for the week to come by your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And with the Apostle Paul, we recognize him to be a very capable man, a man who was very well educated. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was very skilled, probably, at speaking. He was quite a contrast in some ways to Peter and John, who the Pharisees and the scribes and them looked at him and said, "Well, these are unlearned and ignorant men," and they were amazed at the ability with which they spoke. But yet, we see that as he ministered to the Corinthians, that he, as he began to establish the church, that he made a conscious decision of what was the best approach of how to minister to the Corinthian believers, these new baby Christians that had come out of a society, out of a culture in that city of great wickedness. How to minister to them most effectively, how to bring them along in their Christian faith, how to get them grounded and settled and established. And he recognized that he could have done it in such a way that he would be trying to sell them the truths of God's Word. He would be trying to impress them. He said that I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. That he could have done that, that he could have tried to show how great of an orator he was, how much abilities he had, and try to convince them by the wisdom of men, by his ability to debate and discuss. But he decided, no, that's not what the Lord would have me do. He decided, no, what I'm going to do is to come to them in simplicity, come to them with just the basics, just Christ and Him crucified, and that he looked at it in that way. He recognized that and that's something that we recognize today, that the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, it doesn't need to have anything as part of it to try to sell it, try to improve it, try to make it better. We understand that it's the simple faith of the Gospel that a person needs to accept it or reject it. And we understand that He spoke in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, that God sent him to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. that if we have to try to sell it, if we have to try and improve it, if we have to try to make it more palatable to people, essentially we're adding an arm of flesh to the Spirit and power of God. And of course, when we do that, we diminish the cross of Christ, that it stands alone, that it is sufficient, it is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. And so we see that he resolved that he would come to them in simplicity. And we see that in many different places. And he spoke in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, that he was concerned that that Satan would beguile them, that their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And we can be thankful for that, that even though what the Scriptures teach, that it is so unfathomable, it is so beyond our understanding that we can take a lifetime of studying the truths of Scripture and never truly get to the bottom of it, really we understand that the basic foundation is very simple, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that all of our sufficiency, all that we need is found in Him, and that we are to obey Him, we are to become like Him, we are to be witnesses to Him to others, so that they too might partake of His grace through faith in His finished work on the cross. And so we see what He did, that His focus was that He focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that each message He spoke of was that. And I remember my grandmother, she's still alive, she's in the nursing home in Castor, but I remember when I was just starting to preach a few sermons as a teenager that she kind of pounded it into my head. It says, well, whatever sermon you're preaching, wherever you start from, you always preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that you always need to lift Him up, you always need to put Him forth. Because He's the center of the Scriptures, He is the Word of life, the living Word, and He needs to be central, He needs to be the focus. And we understand that what Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And that's the understanding we have, that when Jesus Christ is exalted, when His work on the cross is lifted up, then that has real power. When we try to add different things to it, we sort of think, well, maybe we need to mix in some philosophies of this world with the things of God. It diminishes it. It weakens the strength of it, that it is powerful enough on its own. And we see in Colossians chapter 2, it gives this warning. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so we recognize that the Lord is, we are complete in Him, that we are not to be spoiled or have God's power taken away from His work by mixing it in with these other things which actually take away from the glory and power of God. And so you think of it that as Paul, that if he had confidence in the flesh, he spoke of this in Philippians, that of anyone that he would have that. But yet we see that he came to them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, that he was not in a sense of assurance of himself, that he was in a sense of humility, of carefulness. He wanted to make sure that he was saying what the Lord would have him to say, no more and no less. He was not exalting his power and authority as apostle. He was not showing that he was confident in his own abilities. And we see that he speaks of it. He was in fear and in much trembling. And we find in Acts chapter 18, when he was, it gives the narrative of when he was beginning the church in Corinth there, getting it established, that God had to speak to him. And he said, Acts 18 verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And so we see that he came to them in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That his words were given simply, distinctly, nothing real fancy or flowery about it, just bare bones, Christ and Him crucified. And it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And His whole purpose behind it was that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we understand that our all of our growth and all of our development as a Christian, that we don't want it to be based on simply some person teaching us and instructing us. We want it to be where we're instructed by the Holy Spirit. We're guided by Him, and He empowers us. He gives us victory in our daily life. That we want our faith to stand not in what men say, but recognizing the Scriptures. This is what God says, and I'm going to stand upon the Word and do what the Word says and be guided by everything that God has placed in His Word. And so we see that their faith would stand in this, and we understand that if the foundation of man's wisdom is a sandy foundation, it's not something that is strong, it's something that can be, if we're built upon that, that our lives can be swept away by the storms of life. But yet, when we're founded upon the power of God, upon the wisdom of God, the Word of God, we have that sure foundation. And we can glory in that. And we see it spoken in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That Paul speaks again of this idea. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And that is the blessing, that we can know that the Lord can use any man that is dedicated to Him, that is surrendered to Him. That we don't need to be really educated well, or think that we need to have all these skills of oratory and other things that we read in the last chapter, that the Lord likes to use those that the world says is foolish, those that the world says is weak, things which the world despises. He delights in using people like that so that He will be glorified, and so that people will be strengthened, not by the power of that person, but by the power of God itself. And so we see in verse 6, as he continues, he says, "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Perfect is the idea of one that is mature, that has developed to a place where they're a spiritual adult in that sense. But he says that it is not the wisdom of the world, nor the prince of the world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. That we understand that we understand it as believers. We recognize that it is the wisdom of God that He would choose to act in this way. But we recognize that the wisdom of the world looks at the things of God as being foolishness, that they don't understand it, that it's hidden from them. But yet the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the princes of this world, comes to nothing. That you can think of it with so many different problems that there are in society, that there are so many different programs and plans and ideas of fixing different problems, whether it be addictions, whether it be dealing with crime, that there is so much that they try and they fail. But we understand that if men bring themselves back to the wisdom of the Word of God, back to the principles of the Word of God, that's what brings deliverance. We understand that more than any kind of self-help group or anything like that. If a person dealing with an addiction gets saved and gets into a dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that He gives them victory over these things. And so the wisdom of the world, there's so much discussion of different ideas, and so often they're tried, and we see that even in our school system, that they have all these new ideas for raising children and developing them, and it's sort of, it goes through a generation, and they grow up as adults, and they find, boy, that was just a complete failure, let's try something new, and it may not be any better than what it was before, it may actually be worse, but they have to keep trying. Whereas again, if we get back to the wisdom of God, then we are blessed by that. And we see that it speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That this wisdom of God is a mystery. It's hidden to those that that believe not. It speaks of that in 2 Corinthians 4, if the gospel be hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. That it's something that we understand, that God is not trying to hide this wisdom from men so that they cannot receive it, so that they can continue in their failure and their vanity of their mind. But yet we recognize that this mystery, this wisdom of God is something that is not grasped by the natural man, that it takes spiritual discernment in order to appreciate it. Unless someone comes to know Christ, unless someone has the Holy Spirit showing them the truth, then they will not come to an understanding of it. But we recognize that the wisdom of God, that it is not, even though the world might look at the wisdom of God as being foolish, as Christianity and the cross and the preaching of the cross is foolishness, we recognize that it is something far greater, that even though, and we understand that it's a tendency that we, men tend to mock and to make fun of things that they don't understand, that they don't comprehend, things that rub them the wrong way. But yet we realize that when we get a glimpse of the wisdom of God and all that He has for us, that is a glorious thing. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And that's something that as Christians, if we've been in the Lord for a time, that we can testify of that, that things happen, that Lord brings blessings that we could never have imagined them, where we started in our life and where we are now, how things can be changed, things can be restored, things can be made better. And then we think not only in this world, but in the world to come, that I think when we step into glory, how different it will be for us. I remember we had a young lady in the church in Trail was killed in a car accident, and it was something that we were kind of talking about, kind of what she would be thinking of, what she would be doing in heaven, and one person said, well, they figured, well, probably she'd just be standing in awe for probably the first, like, even though there's no time there, but for just the first several months or years before she actually took it in and started even contemplating anything else. And we understand that it'll be such, the inheritance that we have, we understand it speaks that the Holy Spirit, which we have been given, that we have God Himself dwelling within us, that's just the earnest of our inheritance. That's just the down payment. And we think that we have God in His fullness entering into us, that if that is just the down payment, how glorious it will be, these things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And we find that we ask God for something, and so often He gives exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And it is so glorious when we see that, and it is a blessing to receive in time. But we see that these things that are hidden, that God, He is not desiring that they be hidden anymore. We recognize that it speaks of mystery in the Scriptures, that it was in the Old Testament, things were not fully revealed. Christ did not come into this world, but now that we live in this New Testament age, He has made them plain, and He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And we see that spoken of in several different places. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." That it had been hid in God, but yet now it was time that Paul wanted to share it with everyone, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And God wants all men to share it if they'd only come to Him in faith. And we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says as well, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, that now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And that thought that we have, that this mystery, we understand in the Lord Jesus Christ to hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that we find all these blessings in Him, that now that Christ has come, that God has revealed Himself to mankind, and as we are saved, that He gives us of His Spirit, that He may reveal Himself unto us even more. And He's given us His Spirit to be part of us, to guide us into all truth. And it is such a blessing to have that. And we recognize that the things of God, as it says, "What knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." That we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're beyond our comprehension as finite human beings. But yet He brings them down to our understanding. He illuminates us. And we can find that as we read the Scriptures at different times. We'll go through a passage and it won't make any sense, but yet we'll pray, and the next time that we read it, it suddenly there'll be such a depth of meaning that we find, and the Lord illuminates it to us. And then we might read it another time, even a few years later, and we uncover a whole other layer. Then it's the Holy Spirit that's illuminating it to us, giving it to our understanding. That really, we find as we study the Scriptures more and more that so often we get some different nuggets, and we're almost in a tendency, "Well, I've dug deep enough," but there's still a gold mine beneath that God wants to share with us. God wants to reveal unto us. He wants us to know Him fully and know His truths fully. And we understand that He has given His Spirit. And it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That there is so much that has been given to us without any bound, without any limitation, and He wants us to know every part of it, that we wouldn't miss out on any of His blessings. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is prayer of Paul. He says, Ephesians 1:17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." That He wants us to know that it is something we realize that we will find out one day, but He wants us to get a glimpse before we pass into eternity of all the glories that He has for us. And again, it is something that it will still be an amazement to us. It's just as with the Queen of Sheba, when she came to behold the glory of Solomon's kingdom, that she said, "Behold, the half was not told me." She didn't believe what people said, and she had to come for herself, and she found that their speaking of it was actually much less than the truth was. And so we see that he wants to share that with us. And we see that Paul was speaking of these things to them, and it wasn't in the words which man's wisdom taught, but which the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost taught, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what we understand it as we go through the Scriptures, that it is not the teaching of man, and we do not rely upon any man to teach us the Word of God, that we look upon the Holy Ghost to illuminate our understanding. He may use men to do that, but we recognize that He is the one that teaches us. He is the one that instructs us. That even as someone preaches, that as that person speaks, that it comes to our understanding, that it's the Lord reveals it unto us that we understand. And we see the wording there comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that we understand that when we're trying to determine the truths of God's Word, that we compare Scripture with Scripture, we compare spiritual things with spiritual, so that we can understand it fully. And as we seek out the truth, as we pray for His direction, that He gives it to us as His children, that because we have the Holy Spirit, He guides us into all truth, that there may be things that we may not be ready to understand, but in time that He reveals them unto us and enables us to understand them and appreciate them. We see verse 14 that says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And we see that is why the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, because it is something that they need the Holy Spirit to understand them. And you may have known of a person that isn't saved, that maybe they try to pick up the Bible and understand it, and they can't make heads or tail of it, and they simply give up on it. But it doesn't make any sense because they don't have the Holy Spirit illuminating it to them. But we understand that as they believe, as they step in faith, that as they follow the light that is given them, that the Lord reveals Himself further and further, and they can come to an understanding. But we recognize that, whether it's with someone that is unsaved or someone that is a believer but is not in a close relationship with the Lord, that they're going to have a hard time understanding the Scriptures. That we are absolutely relying upon the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. That we can't do it without Him. And in the flip side, we recognize that even if we didn't have all the different tools of study and all different commentaries and other things, we recognize if we have the Holy Spirit to instruct us and we're sensitive to His Word, that we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that He can guide us into all truth. And so we understand that. It says that he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. If we're walking with the Spirit, if we're being guided by Him, He will bring us discernment, that we will study the Word of God, that truth will be revealed to us, that we will be able to understand what is right, what is wrong, the path to take. And yet, at the same time, one that is spiritual is judged of no man, that he needs no man to tell him whether he's spiritual or not, that if he's close to the Lord, that the Lord gives him that discernment. They have that witness in himself that testifies to the truth within him. And so we see, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And that is the understanding that the Lord wants to share all of him with us. He wants us to be conformed to his image. He does not want us to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. That he wants to give us everything new, that with the way that we thought, he wants to give us a new mind. He wants to give his mind to us so that we can discern, so that we can understand what is really valuable in this world, so that we can have that discernment, that we can know truth from error, that we would not be deceived and be swept away by every wind of doctrine. That he gives that unto us as his children, that as we rely upon Him and upon His Word, that He helps us in that. That there is much false teaching around these days. There is much that can deceive us. But we recognize if we stand upon His Word, if we, as the Bereans, that we search the Scriptures daily to see if such things are so, that we can be guided into truth and the Lord can help us. And so we recognize the greatness of the wisdom of God. We recognize the power of God in His Word. And we recognize the Holy Ghost, of how He is so crucial to our lives, that if we are to be spiritual people, that we must be yielded to Him. We must be tied in with Him and into the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be guided into truth, and that He can bless us and help us in our walk with Him. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. Just pray that You would bless us, Lord. Help us to look to You for our understanding of the Scriptures, for our discernment of spiritual things, Lord. There is so much that You want to share with us, so much that You want to lead us into, Lord, things that we have never attempted before, things that we have never imagined even possible, Lord, that You want to guide us into that. We just pray You would help us to trust You, to rely upon Your Word and Your Spirit for direction, for power, for strength. And Lord, just strengthen our faith in Your Word and Your Spirit, that we might be used of You in this day and age. We just pray You would bless us throughout this week, and just help us to remember Your Word and be reliant upon You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's stand once more, and we'll turn to one more hymn, hymn 176, Break Thou the Bread of Life, hymn 176.